12th chapter.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the only parable where God speaks. Jesus asks the crowd to take care against all kinds of greed, and then he describes this parable of a man who produced nothing, but God gave the land an abundant crop, and the man had so much he didn't know what to do with it. And it seems, being quite isolated, he had no one else to share it with, and he had no desire to share it with anyone else. And so he made all these plans, stacking up I, me, and mine into bigger barns to store the crops for many years to come. It's, I think, illuminating to know that there's at least three words for life that we get in the New Testament. Jesus warned everybody about their life not consisting in the abundance of stuff. And that word is Zoe. It's a beautiful name for a little kid, Zoe. Zoe means life, and it doesn't mean quantity of life, which is what the word bios or biology is talking about. It doesn't mean how much life you have, quantity. And it's not the word psyche, which is another word for life, which has to do more with quality of life, the self, the soul, the identity, meaning in life. But Zoe, that's life in reference to God. That's life and riches toward God. So we have bios. This farmer believes he has lots of bios left, many years, to store up his possessions. And he has a conversation with his psyche. He says, "Psyche, I will say to myself, Psyche, you have ample goods for many years. Let's build bigger barns and store it up." So this man has a little psychological self-reflection. And of course, psychology is the study of how we fool ourselves and then how we go out into the world and try to fool others. But Jesus isn't warning against bios and the short quantity of life that remains. And he wasn't even talking about psyche and the quality of the life that we live. He's talking about Zoe life, the life we have only in God, who alone possesses life. So God speaks for the one and only time in any of Jesus' parables. And God says, "You fool. You had big plans. Man plans and God laughs," is what Elie Wiesel once wrote. "You fool, this very night your life's being required of you. All these things you've stored up, whose will they be?" The implication is the man actually had nobody to leave it to. No family, no close friends, certainly no charity. Jesus warns us to be on guard against this and other kinds of greed, because our Zoe will never be found in our garage or our house or our bank account. Psalm 49 is a good background chorus for this as well. Half of that psalm just talked about how the rich and the fool alike will perish. And I love the last line of the psalm we read together, although I wish the hymnal kept the original NRSV translation. So what we just read is at the end of Psalm 49, "Even though honored, they cannot live forever." But in the NRSV, it says, "Mortals cannot abide in their pomp." I think that's very funny and fancy way to say, we have this pomp we've amassed for ourselves, and yet we're mortals the entire time, and we just can't abide in the pomp for much longer than a few decades. Now, I wrote in the devotional this week on the email, and then it's printed in the bulletin, that my stepdad has entered hospice care this last week. And unlike the farmer in the parable, this wasn't a very unexpected thing. He's had some lifelong conditions that have been complicated by some newer conditions. And I can remember just a few years ago, Mark and his older brothers, he's the youngest by 9 years in his family, he and two of his three older brothers were sitting in our living room, or their living room up in Portland, and they were kind of wagering with each other about who's going to live the longest and how many years they each thought they had left. And, you know, he's the youngest, but he says, I think I got about 5 years. I haven't double-checked, but I have a suspicion it was about 5 years ago that he said this. Because his doctors have been telling him for some time, depending on how this affects this and depending on how your liver does with everything, your window is 64 to 66 years old. And he's 65 this year. So the fact that we had this conversation as a family about entering hospice or not yet wasn't a big surprise. It wasn't like we thought there was a lot of bios life left. But even knowing that, it takes a lot of care and love and a circle of people, not just family, but chaplains and nurses and whomever else, to help us move into the conversations about psyche life. What does quality of life look like when there's not much quantity of it? What do you want? Because what you're currently having is a boomerang in and out of the hospital, back and forth. But if what you want most is to be home, then let's talk about how we can care for you in that way. And that's where Mark ended up. He said, I want to be home because at home are my dogs, my wife Deb, my mother, and the Dodger games on TV. In no particular order, dogs, Debbie, and Dodger games. He wants to be home for that. But that also means then his care needs to change. And so he's entered hospice. You know, I think about what richness in God looks like in these moments. Because although the hospital gathered a team to talk about quality of life, Mark kept going back and back to his faith, to his Zoe life, which is quintessential life, which is far better than quality. Kept going back to that faith and trust he has in God so that he can face these things and not be fooled by how quickly they can come. I think about the witness he's giving, just as someone who is living with complete trust in God. He's been the father in my life for twice as long as my own dad was able to be. And this decision was not made lightly, and it's certainly getting harder and more challenging at home. But I think about this parable and this farmer, and his plan is to eat, drink, and be merry because Bios has got years ahead and lots of great plans. But now I think about Mark on hospice, and I think, he's eating and drinking and being merry in a far more quintessential way. Now that the care plan has changed, he can eat anything he wants. He can drink whatever sounds good. He shouldn't get up and move whenever he wants, but we're working on that part of it. But he can eat, drink, and he can decide for himself, what does merriment look like in this last season of my life? Dogs, Debbie, Dodgers, the occasional visit from other kids. Now, he saw this coming years ago. Well, we often don't see things coming. Each of us have, I'm sure, had losses in our life that were quite sudden. I'm thinking about our other hospice sister on the prayer chain right now. Hannah Taker has entered hospice recently as well. And I told her, Hannah and Mark are side by side, at least in our hospice prayers. And so I don't think about my stepdad without thinking about Hannah at home. And I don't think about Hannah at home without thinking about Mark up in Portland. And of course, for Hannah, her life took a sudden turn when beloved Martin had that stroke and was gone within a week or so. Life can quickly change. But Hannah also gives this picture of quintessential life in God. Of Zoe life. In her room where she lays and her bios life has so much time left, She's surrounded with pictures and cards of and from Martin. And then hanging right over her bed is a framed picture, and it's all in Danish. And so I asked her what this means. I apologize, I'm going to say this wrongly, but it says, Herren min hirdegod. And I think what I almost said was, the Lord is my good shepherd. And that hangs right over her hospice bed. Bios, fragile. Psyche, surrounded with family, pictures of Martin, cards from Martin over the years. Zoe life hangs over her bed and marks her as a sheep of God's own fold. Now we look at Colossians in our first reading from Paul, and it gets more incredible still. Because for Mark and Hannah, they've been moving from life to death like the rest of us, and now death has approached in a more close fashion. But what Paul tells us is something really incredible. It's actually incredible, so we can't believe it. Nevertheless, he says it. Here's what he tells the Colossians. And this is part of an extended riff upon baptism and what actually happened when God baptized us into Christ. Paul writes, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your Zoe, your life, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your Zoe, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." It turns out, although we think we're all life-to-deathers, born, growing up, living, and then death is approaching at some date in the future, Paul teaches us that actually by Christian faith, we move from death to life. We move exactly the opposite stream as the world does. That when we were baptized into Christ's death and therefore into his resurrection. And the life we live in the body is by faith. The life we live is in Christ. It's hidden in Christ. Who we are is not who we see in the mirror and how the biology is looking every time you look in the mirror. And who we are is not our psyche even and what we think about how our life is going as we lay in bed. But who you are is hidden with Christ in God, for you have died. So we're death to lifers. Having died in baptism with Christ, the only thing ahead of us is life. It's life. And this is a great comfort should we take care of it. This is a great comfort if we, like Paul tells the Colossians, can set our mind on these things above. Which does not mean think only about heavenly things and ignore your family and your duties of the day. But when our minds are fixed on things above, on the life, the Zoe that is in Christ, all of a sudden we find that we don't live from life to death, that our life isn't a matter of eat, drink, and be merry so that we can ignore what's coming. But it's exactly the opposite. With our life and our death in the good care of God, we can eat, drink, and be merry, for we have died. We have been united to Christ. And our eating, drinking, and merriment is not a solo exercise for the psyche. It's a communal feasting and celebration at a meal. It's the eating, drinking, and be merry so that that merriment spreads to the least, the last, and the lost in our neighborhood. Eat, drink, and be merry, for yesterday you died in Christ. I love how Robert Capon puts it. He has got the best book on the parables you can find. He says, all we need to offer in order to share in the joy of Jesus' rising is the shameless, selfless admission that we are dead without him, and the faith to confess that we are also dead with him and in him. He goes on to say, we do not have to ask for death, or seek it, or work ourselves up to it. We have only to accept the death we already have. And in the clean emptiness of that death, we will find the life that all along has been hid for us with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. We are safe, not because of the reasonableness or persistence of our prayers, but because God lives in our death. Entombed together with Christ in baptism, we have already been raised up together in him through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Eat, drink, and be merry. Not in isolated and ever-expanding barns, not in an isolated dialogue with your psyche, not in plans for an indulgent future, but a feasting together in Christ for us and for the sake of the world. It's actually a feasting not only together in Christ, but it's a feasting on Christ, who is our Zoe life. Just a small practical example about how this works out. This week is the church garage sale, which I've always loved to call Vacation Bible School for seniors and other adults at Bethesda. Because you spend the week, you have to plan your meals, and you spend the day working. And it's a lot of fun. What I love about the garage sale is that it's one way that this community recognizes we have too much stuff. But that a lot of the stuff we have so much stuff that a lot of our stuff we don't need is still very usable. And that affordable goods and furniture would be a blessing to other people in our neighborhood. And we take our excess of stuff and we sell it at affordable prices to our neighbors. It's good for them. And then the money raised from that goes into basically capital improvements in this very place of hospitality. So for example, the parish hall, the flooring and the painting and the air conditioning is just a few years old, and there's plans for other updates in the kitchen coming up. This place that hosts so many events comes out of the excess of our possessions that we give. Brief story on that is just a couple of weeks ago, we hosted a Filipino lunch to welcome the only Filipino track and field athlete competing here at the World Athletic Competition. EJ Obiena, young man from the Philippines, he didn't know any of us, but my wife's cousin is married to a Filipino woman, and her community wanted to give him a home-cooked meal and a taste of home. And so after he was detained at LAX for half of a day trying to prove that he was here to compete in the track competition, he finally was able to make it to Eugene, and the next day after he arrived into town, he came over here for a lunch. You should have seen it. Bill can tell you, too. I mean, you should have seen the Filipino mamas in action in the kitchen and everywhere getting this thing ready. And they were so appreciative of what a nice kitchen and parish hall you've built and you've improved over the years, that this man came from the other side of the world and felt loved and welcomed. He came in sixth in the world, and on the final day of the competition, he got a bronze medal. He's the first Filipino to win a medal in a global track and field competition. He's medaled in Asian games, Asian Olympic events, but never a global track and field medal for a Filipino. I think about Paul writing to these Colossians, and after he's talked about how we've already died in Christ, he goes on to talk about this newness of life. And he says something that's very familiar to Galatians 3:28. But here in Colossians, he says, where is it here? In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, no longer American and Filipino, no longer circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. There's no longer foreigner and native. There's no longer healthy and under hospice care. For Christ is all in all. And our lives together are hidden in him. As we feast, eating, drinking, and be merry, while God gives us life to do so, and eating and drinking and being merry when life is short, and the quintessential goodness of the gospel is all we have left. EJ, after winning bronze, donated his winnings to the medical fund for a Filipino track star from the 80s, Lydia De Vega. She was the fastest Asian woman for over a decade, and she has stage 4 cancer treatment she's going through. And EJ wanted to bless her with what he had earned. This is how it goes. Eating, drinking, and being merry, and extending that merriment and that care to others. On and on. This is what we have in Christ. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Him who is our Zoe, now and forever. Amen.